You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Yabanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact.
All right, so welcome to another success interview. Very pumped and excited to be chatting with the one and only Mr. Sam Schreiber. Did I say that right?
Schreiber, it's close.
Schreiber. I should know better because with a name like Yabanowicz, I don't even get people attempting my name.
Mate, that's totally fair.
Welcome, mate. Welcome to the interview.
Mate, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. Now, with this series, there's a couple of things. One, we're really looking to interview those people who we consider to be high performers, people that have gone to a substantial and successful level in their fitness business, but then also diving into the world of online. So your experience about what it's taken, what you've noticed, what you've experienced. So I guess people that are watching this that are rather considering starting it or adding it to their face-to-face business or just want to go purely online, I guess they've got something to go by from someone who's actually been successful in both face-to-face and online. So I guess to give people a bit of background about yourself, I always like to ask why did you decide to get into the fitness industry to start with? And when was that? So what time period was that you went, right, for whatever reason, the fitness industry is for me?
Yeah, well, I guess to give you a bit of a background, during high school, I was a swimmer, and I was quite skinny. So people used to call me Skinny Sam. And
really? SS.
Funny at the time, right? But that did really hit my self esteem, and I started doing some weights during high school. Our gym at the school wasn't actually accessible to the students, but we used to break in as students and go, use the gym, had no idea what we were doing. So I did a little bit of weights during high school while I was a swimmer, but it wasn't until I actually moved from country South Australia up to Adelaide where I really started to, give the fitness industry a good crack. So I joined my first gym in 2014. Right. And while I was training there, so we're thinking 10 years ago now. So while I was training at the gym, an opportunity came up to work as the manager at that gym. And, I took that opportunity, full steam ahead because I was really into it. At the time, I had no aspirations to become a personal trainer. I just thought it was, a good job at the right time. I could focus on my training, focus on me. As the years went on, a lot of people around the gym started to ask me about, nutrition and training, and they started to see my transformation going from Skinny Sam to not so Skinny Sam, right? And they go, give us some tips here and there. And so I started to help people out, and that's when people started to go, Sam, I've lost, 5-10 kilos. I've put on two kilos of muscle, that sort of thing. And I went, wow, like this is actually extremely life-changing. And I said, there could be something in this. So I decided to study my Cert 3 and 4 that was around about 2017, 2018 at that point. And throughout that time, I did a string of bodybuilding competitions. So I competed in 8 competitions and within the ICN Natural Federation, gained my pro card, and that built up a reputation of the bodybuilding preparation. So after I did my certs, I started working with, the bodybuilding clientele and started doing some face-to-face PT and, really made a name for myself in the Adelaide scene. Then, of course, COVID happened. Yeah. I think in 2019, 2020, I'd built up a really big business. By that point, I was pumping, 40-plus sessions in the gym at that point. extremely burnt out, you know, doing that plus bodybuilding prep, plus trying to maintain, you know, relationships, family, friends, that sort of thing. I found it extremely tough. So when COVID came along, obviously the gyms all closed down and I was forced to do some park sessions. And then I thought, you know, I was doing a little bit of online during that time, but I saw that as an opportunity to really dive headfirst and really go, well, I may as well give it a shot now and see how it goes. And then I actually transitioned online for 18 months during that period of time. Right. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, really, really made a name for myself in the online scene. And during that time, that flexibility was fantastic because we got married, we built a house, we now have a daughter. So it was great to be online during that time and be able to be present during those times. What I found though, although the online is fantastic, I really miss that human interaction of having that face-to-face contact with people. So, you know, April last year, I decided to get back into in-person with very strict boundaries. I said, I'm only going to do 20 sessions per week. They're going to be 45-minute sessions. They're going to be back-to-back. And we're going to do 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Monday, Thursday, Saturday. That's it. No more than that. And I pretty well capped myself out within, it was around about 3 or 4 months from getting back into it, bang, straight away.
Love it, mate. Good, I guess, exposure to your journey into the industry. And what I love, there's a couple of parts. One is I love how what started as a passion and something you love doing then turned into, you go, hey, I feel like I've got the ability to help people in this area. There's something about that organic growth versus, you know, there's no right or wrong for everyone's journey, but just that fact that, you know, you were doing it because you loved it. People coming to you, they started to notice what you were doing. It's like walking your own talk. You're the best advertisement, and people pay attention to that to then, you know, grow in the business. Sounds like you got extremely busy though. One of the traps is, you know, you were doing a lot of sessions, and then so I think you said started to get burnt out, but then COVID hit anyway. And that was one of my questions. Was that obviously for a lot of people that got online, that could be the specific moment. That sounds like that was the case for you, that it was just like, right, what am I going to do during COVID? I might as well transition fully online.
For sure. Like I said, I had a split of online and in-person at that point, and the online was actually starting to creep higher than my in-person income.
Right.
So I thought at that time, even before COVID, I knew that I wanted to transition online at some point. But COVID was the tipping point to be like, hey, you got to kick yourself into gear. Like, this is your chance. So I actually quite enjoyed COVID in that sense where, you know, I could spend more time at home and work on the back end because, you know, I was getting to the gym at 6 a.m. and getting home at, you know, 6, 7, 8 p.m., you know, before with the morning and then the midday, then the evening split. So, you know, and I don't want to live that life anymore because, you know, I want to be around to be present with my daughter. So,
such a classic PT story, eh? Like get into the industry, love it, get burnt out, start to hate it. you get burnt out. So, I mean, it's a good lesson for anyone, no matter if, you know, I still know people been in the industry for 15 years and they're still running that burnt out style of lifestyle. And then what I love is that you said you had very strict boundaries.
Yep.
And, you know, sounds like you said, like, I'm going to design my lifestyle to work around the business. And unfortunately, most people do the other way around. Their lifestyle fits around the business. And I guess anyone watching it going, you can structure it going, right, these are the days I want to work. These are days or times I don't want to work. And I've got to make the money that I want to make during that period of time. Would that be your experience now?
Yeah, totally. Like realistically, in my experience, if people want to work with you, they'll find the time.
Yeah.
Like when people inquire with me and they say, oh, you know, I like to train at 5 p.m. I say, well, I don't do 5 p.m. You know, these are my times. If you really want to train with me, this is it. And 9 times out of 10, they go, all right, I'll change some things up and I'll make it work, because a lot of people work from home these days, a couple of days per week.
Yeah.
And they can make that work. And I'm, you know, very fortunate to be in a position where I do have a trainer that works underneath me as well. And she does the afternoons shift as well. So that those people in the afternoon, if they really, really want that afternoon, then I can handle them onto Jamie and then she can she can work with those guys. Yeah.
Such an important point too. And I hope people really took that on board that, again, I was just speaking to a trainer earlier this week going, oh, I have to change our appointment because a client had to move theirs, you know, and they're very new. And I said, look, that's fine. I said, do you want some feedback? You know, again, at the end of the day too, if you're going to start having your clients dictate your time schedule, you're in big trouble because now who's running your business? It's the clients. And like you said, people typically will just say, oh, look, can you train at 7 p.m. at night? And if you don't want to, but you think, oh, shit, I should take them on. Again, it's going to be a tough ride because you go, I don't fucking want to be here at 7 p.m.
Yeah, totally.
But now I said yes when I meant no. But, you know, you having the, I guess, the ability to just go, well, no, I don't work that time. And not feeling panicked that you have to have that person because the next best client's around the corner anyway. It's such super important, but you know, again, take some people never to figure that out.
yeah, totally agree.
So you, I mean, to when you started that 2014 to I guess where you are now. I mean, when you did start to go online, I'm getting a sense that maybe the transition was reasonably smooth for you. But what were some of the challenging things that you found about going online, if anything, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, for sure. I guess I was quite well known in the fact of being an in-person trainer. So it was about changing my marketing and my message to really talk to those people that say, hey, I'm an online trainer now. This is the main thing that I do.
Right.
So changing that wording with my marketing was a big thing. I guess I was very fortunate in that sense of that time frame that people were quite open to change during COVID. So when, you know, I came out with the online coach, people went, oh, well, that's what people are doing now. You know, we have to adapt with the times. So I was very fortunate then. And I guess at that time, the market probably wasn't as flooded as it is now. So, you know, to be putting yourself out there as an online coach, people were like, oh, wow, that's something different that we haven't really seen much before. I'm going to jump on that and try that out. Yeah.
Yeah. So partly was about just changing your messaging and how you delivered the, you know, the marketing in terms of what you provided. And a couple of things in there though, too, like, I guess like that was the same thing. I used to hear, seminar after seminar for people newer in the industry going, oh, you know, the market's flooded now, face-to-face PTs. And you could say the same for real estate agents. You could say the same for anything that, over time progresses, there's more and more people enter some industry, right?
Absolutely.
So the question B is, even though it's flooded with more and more of people, and some of online coaches, they all have like 4.5 clients online and not really making it where we want to be. I guess what do you say to that? If someone said, oh, like, should I even bother starting online? It's just flooded, you know? Why even bother? What would, I guess, your response be to someone who's maybe thinking that way?
Yeah, totally. I hear that all the time, definitely, to people that are scared to go into the industry because it's quote unquote flooded. But the reality is every industry is flooded to that extent, right? There's so many personal trainers out there, but how many really, really good personal trainers do you know of that are killing the game in their market? You know, there's a really small handful when there's, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of trainers. So I think in that sense, like, becoming an expert within your field is extremely important. I have a niche of I grow females' glutes, get them, you know, strong round glutes, and I improve their relationship with food. Okay, so that's the main clientele that I work with, and I would say that would be 70% of my clientele. Being an expert in that field and my marketing messages really show that people come to me because of that. They're not going to come to you to build their glutes, right?
Because
you're not known for that. You're correct. Known to building businesses, right? So I think becoming an expert. And
I've got quite a big ass though, so but I'm not sure that helps.
Well, yeah, I'll be in charge.
Just genetics.
Yeah, for sure. I see you doing glute kickback. but yeah, I think becoming an expert within your field really sets you apart from the rest of the industry. If you're just going out there and saying like, I'm going to become a PT and I'm going to work with everyone, then there's nothing that sets you apart. Like, why are people going to come to you versus someone else?
Yeah.
Because then it just becomes a money game, right? Because you might be charging $80 a session, old mate's charging 40, and they go, there's nothing that sets you apart. You both do the same, you offer the same service. I'm going to go with the cheaper one. Whereas if you say, hey, I'm an expert within this field, I can help you specifically with this, then you can charge more for that ultimately.
It's such great advice. And we had our workshop in Brizzy last Friday for, you know, the clients from TrainHU attended. And, you know, I talk about, you know, firstly having your niche, like you said, it's easier to know, you know, their problems, their frustrations, their desires, and then how you can go about solving them. But also with your marketing, if you're not entering the conversation in their head, like what's the conversation? When I heard you say, I help them change the relationship with their food, and someone comes across some of your messaging and marketing going, you know, do you find yourself snacking and doing that even though you don't want to, you know? So people go, yes, that's me. All of a sudden you've grabbed their attention. But if I don't have that issue, I go, no, I've never had that thought in my life. Well, I'm on to the next person that I'm scrolling past, you know, until I get that message that go, you got lower back pain, you know, but do you hate doing stretching? Yeah. Well, we got the solution for you. Fuck, I'm in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what you're talking about. So that person would specialize in helping you relieve back pain. But if you hate yoga and stretching and all that stuff, but you think that's the only option, you go, hey, I'm all ears. You've got my attention. 100%. That's what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
So crowded or not, a million or, you know, 10, if you do a really good job at positioning yourself in the marketplace, which most don't, face-to-face or online, you'll be invisible.
100%. Totally agree.
So how did then with that, then your niche in itself, then how does that actually help you with your, you know, growing and scaling of your business? So in what ways does it actually help? Because we talk about the niche and we talk about you can charge more. That's one of the things for sure. How else has it actually helped you with growing your business? Because you do know, okay, this is who I'm trying to help.
Yeah, well, it's definitely helped with my message for sure, and my marketing. So, you know, I had a complete rebrand when I started with Trainer HQ, and shout out to Kate Kendall, my coach, last year in 2023. She was an absolute weapon and really helped me grow my business larger than what I could ever imagine, you know. But she really helped me rebrand my whole business. So, you know, we did a rebrand with the website, my social media, Instagram, Facebook, and we really targeted those females and sent out that message of, you know, hey, you want to grow those big ground glutes and improve your relationship with food. And it really attracted those specific clientele coming through. So, you know, I think it's really important to really speak your client's language because they'll end up coming to you. Ultimately, you won't have to reach out to them.
And again, this is, we're talking in person and online, same thing, same demographic niche that you're targeting, right?
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. The other part is if I come to you and said, Sam, do you only work with chicks to get big booties? Do you go, yeah, sorry, mate, I can't help you? Or would you actually entertain working with somebody else if they meet your requirements? What's to go there?
Yeah, for sure. Like in a consultation, I say to people, look, you know, my main clientele is females that want to grow big round glutes and improve their relationship with food. But I do actually work with anyone with a health and fitness related goals that aligns with my style of coaching. We have to go through a consultation to make sure that we are the right fit as well. Because, you know, there's no point taking on a client if they're not going to be the right fit. And I always say that when someone, you know, inquires with me and I say, hey, let's jump on a consult call because I need to make sure that I can, you know, actually help you.
Yeah. The reason I say that, because, you know, people go, oh, what if I miss out on this?
Yeah.
So, but while you're trying to be something for everybody, you're doing nothing for anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And what you will find occasionally, you might have someone go, hey, man, I really like your stuff. I know you work particularly with women in this area, but I've seen you train and, you know, like even us, we could coach anybody, but being in the industry for so long, we know people's frustrations, pain, we've got solutions for it. But we've got a florist who's a coach because you was referred from one of our other PT clients. We've had roof tilers, you know, we don't market to that.
Wow.
But if someone who knows somebody goes, look, I'm not sure, do you guys actually work with somebody outside of the fitness industry? Because I've got a mate who owns his business and he's been seeing my success. Could you help him? I go, same as what you just said. Well, let's chat. I'm not sure we can, but hey, let's see. Yeah. And if and we in that case, we've had, you know, we've had all kinds of different businesses over the years, but primarily we're doing what you do. We niche because it's, again, for all the reasons you stated, it's a lot easier to grow and scale a business, become an expert.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And it's the same thing, like the same principles apply if we're looking at, you know, either, you know, fat loss, hypertrophy, whatever it might be, if they're male, female, the principles still apply, right?
Yeah.
They're exactly the same. And it's the same thing about growing your business as well. It doesn't matter if you're in the fitness industry or not, the same principles still apply to building a business.
So what have you seen or heard or, you know, so I guess some false beliefs that other people may think about going online? Are there any ones that pop for you that go, okay, well, you know, I hear trainers talk about this and I go, oh, I'm not sure if I agree with that. So
yeah, for sure. The biggest one that comes to mind is people want to start online because it's easier.
Yeah.
They go, yeah. Oh, you know, I'm sick of face-to-face. I just want to chill back on a beach with my laptop and do some work.
Like drinking pina coladas.
Yeah, like the gurus do on Instagram. And the reality is it's just as hard, and sometimes it is harder than in person, because if you've got an in-person client, you see them once a week, you can get majority of the work done in that session, right? You go through all of the questions they might have, you tweak their form, you ask about their nutrition, their mindset, their sleep. That's your check-in plus your training done in 30, 45 minutes, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
The online side of things, you've got your check-in, which, you know, depending on how you run your business, I do a 30-minute fortnightly check-in. And then I do, you know, support Monday through to Friday from about 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You might have some clients that message you every single day. Plus, you've got the check-in as well. Plus, they might send you some form videos as well. They might send you, you know, a couple of things regarding nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say in some cases, you're definitely online can be more difficult in that sense. It might take some more time, but then you might also conversely have some clients that you check in once a fortnight and you don't hear from them and they just do the work as well.
Yeah.
So it does all even out in the wash.
Yeah. I mean, and that's still with face-to-face as well. We have some clients who are more challenging and some that are really easy. They get on and do this stuff. You know. So I really like that. And you and I were chatting the other day and you were actually talking one of your new clients, coaching clients, through the setup phase of the online. And what I really like was the way you explained to this particular person about the charge out rate, because there's that other part to that. One, it's easy, which is bullshit. You're running a business. So if you're in business and you're trying to do something because it's easy, you should get a job, in my opinion. That's fucking it, you know? But the other part is that, 99% of people, trainers I speak to, go, well, I charge this for face-to-face, so I'm going to have to charge less. What's your experience with that, and what was your response to a question? If you heard someone go, well, I've got to charge less, obviously, because it's face-to-face. Yeah.
Well, I actually experienced this myself when I was coming back into in-person, because I'd been out of the game for so long and I was just purely online. When Kate and I were going through the pricing structure of, you know, going back into in-person, I said, you know, I want my online or my in-person to be here and my online to be, you know, to be here, because I said, you know, well, you know, in person's more time, more effort, and then, you know, the online is a little bit easier. And then Kate went, you know, hold the brakes, let's actually break this down. Do you actually think online is easier? And I went, oh, actually, hang on, no, it's definitely not. And she said, well, why not charge the same? And I went, wow, that's incredibly powerful. Like, I never thought about that before. She said, you're still putting in the same amount of effort, if not more, for your online clients as you are with the in-person clients, right? And from then on, I charged the exact same amount for in-person and online. And I'd recommend everyone to do the same.
It's such a, I mean, and that's what will stop people is our beliefs, right? Well, they'll stop us charging because, I mean, ultimately in-person online, what you're selling is a solution, right? You're selling a solution to a problem they have or an outcome that they can't achieve on their own. But if it's online or in person, like, why is it all more magical? I'm actually, you know, like 3 feet away from you. You know, do you want the result or do you actually want to, you know, do you want a friend? And, you know, the reality is some people just like to train with someone in person because for specific reasons and fair enough. So just so everyone's clear, who's listening to this, you charge the exactly same for if you're doing it in person or online.
Correct.
Yeah. And you do 20 face-to-face, that's it for the week?
Yep, 20 face-to-face, yep.
And how many online have you got?
I've got 40 one-on-one online clients, and I've got an 8-week challenge with 18 members in it running at the moment.
Right. And are you able to say what you charge for online then? What do you charge?
I charge $111 for online coaching and $111 for one-on-one personal training. And then I also do a hybrid, which is online and in person, which includes one PT session per week plus the online coaching, nutrition coaching as well. And that's $147 per week.
Right.
And that is my most popular package for in-person training.
There you go. There you go.
Yep.
And it's probably going to keep increasing, no doubt.
100%.
And look, I know people hear, when people hear numbers and figures, they get triggered by it, right? So it's rather like, I'm going to get the money charged at 70. It goes back to everything you just said before. If you're a specialist, if you niche and you know you can deliver a certain outcome, it's no one's business really what you charge, I charge. It's really, am I getting what I feel I want to get paid for my experience, my demand for service, and that I can deliver that outcome, right? But if I'm a generalist and I don't really have a niche or specialty or whatever, it's hard for someone to see the value in that. Right, Sam, we're going to, we're going to start training, I guess. I'll do up your program and hopefully maybe you'll, lose some weight if that's what you wanted to do, because I'm not really sure because I didn't really find out anyway. You know, so if you're running your business that way, you shouldn't expect to get much because you've done a really poor job of, you know, demonstrating to people what solutions you provide. That's why we love selling a solution rather than just a service, because people don't want a PT, but online, face-to-face, they want some transformation. They want to be stronger, fitter, sexier, whatever it may be. And you're providing that, right?
100%. And realistically, if I go through a consultation and someone says, you know, I don't want a plan, I don't want nutrition coaching, I just want to come in and train, I'm not really fussed what we do, they're not the right client for me.
Yeah.
You know, I say, look, you can probably go down the road and find someone a bit cheaper than me if you just want to go train with someone. I want someone who's motivated, who's going to put in the work inside and outside the session.
Love it. With your online, if you could go back, in time when you started, would there be anything that you would just do sooner or do differently?
I probably don't think so. Like, I know a lot of people that want to jump straight into the online side of things straight away, right?
Yeah.
And I think you almost have to do your time as an in-person trainer to learn the ropes. So I was an in-person trainer for 2 years. And, you know, during that 2 years, I was slowly transitioning up my online while I was doing in-person as well.
Mm.
So I feel like I did my time there and I earned the right to become an online coach.
Mm.
There's some things that you just don't learn online that you learn in person.
Mm.
You know? And I think my time in person really helped establish my niche and my clientele that I like working with as well, because I work with such a diverse range of people. Yeah. There's ages from, you know, 16 up to 60, males, females, all walks of life. So I think I learned a lot of, like, you know, how to cue people, how to program, you know, nutritional protocols for different people. And then that really helped me when I moved online to be able to give those easy cues, because I knew those cues would work in person or online.
Yeah, I guess a bit like reading how to drive a car and actually driving a car. You know, it's like, oh, I've read that if you do that, that happens, but I've never really experienced it. So probably should have stopped that roundabout rather than going straight through it, you know, because I hit the other car. Makes sense. I like that. And again, it's just experience. You can't beat it, right? So.
Yeah, there was definitely some like some bumps along the road, and there were plenty of mistakes that I made because this was ultimately my first business within the fitness industry. Yeah. But I wouldn't change anything in that sense because the mistakes that I made, I learned so much from as well. And that's where you're ultimately going to learn from making those mistakes.
I'd agree. Now, if you, I mean, someone who's looking at, again, they've rather just started online, they've dipped the toe, there's been some really valuable content in here and I guess information about what to consider when you are going online. Some fundamental things that you feel make running an online business easier. Mm. So things that you would recommend, you know, to use. So I often hear people go, oh, what app do you use for this? And how should you track that? And any feedback in terms of your experience, what you found has made running an online business and face-to-face easier or I guess more effective?
Yeah, totally. I think having some sort of training software or app is fantastic. In this day and age, we're so flooded with different training apps. And, you know, I'm not here to plug anything in particular. I personally use Trainerize and have done since day dot. And I would say, you know, there's probably a vast majority of trainers that use that as well. And I think it's fantastic. And you know, there's other ones like, you know, Kahuna's is another new one. Most of these apps give you like a custom brand. Mm. So when your customers download it, they ultimately think that you've made this app yourself. Yeah.
Got your logo on it and all that stuff.
Got everything. And I think that's fantastic. And I think an app is a really good place to communicate with your clients as well. Mm. Because the last thing you want is Messenger, WhatsApp,
email,
Facebook, email, Instagram, all these different channels. I say my main point of contact is on the app. You contact me on there, and that mitigates a lot of, you know, messages outside. So I think a training app is number one. That's really important. Some sort of payment, you know, direct debit system, because, you know, you don't want just direct debits just coming into your bank. You know, you want to make sure that you've got that on check, and something that you can like retry payments as well. I use Stripe personally.
Yeah. Just set it up so it just does reoccurring. So
Yep. No, that's fantastic. They've got a really nice app, and the desktop version's good as well. And you can go through all your analytics to see what your spend is per customer, the fees involved. It's quite low in the fees as most of them are. So that's really good. Zoom and Loom are really good. Yep. So I use Zoom for my check-ins, like face-to-face, and then I use Loom for my feedback with form. And I think they're really important as well. They're probably my main four ones here and there. Calendly as well is super, super important. You know, I use a booking system so that, you know, I book in all clients through that as well.
I mean, other stuff's just more relevant to business, like, you know, setting up your financials, tax accounts, all that stuff, which, you know, you should have anyway if you're running a business. Oh, well, I think that's great feedback. And I think with the apps, like you said, I also see people get carried away with, oh, it doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Like, you know, there's never going to be the perfect app, right? But I'm assuming, like, hey, if it does 80% of what you want it to do, and it's delivering a good service, like you said, I'm assuming that's the main thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. And these apps are ever evolving as well. Like, I know Trainerize is coming out with a voice message system, you know, which is fantastic. And that's a great way to communicate with clients. But they're forever evolving. We're in the early stages of all these training apps. So I think if you have a try, most of them do free trials, so you can try them out. But at the end of the day, I think they're all going to do a pretty similar job. So I think just pick one and stick with it.
And I mean, automation is what I heard you say a lot there. And it's like, if you are going to not get caught in the weeds, you want automation, you want good data that feeds you back what's working, what's not. Mate, sounds like things are exciting for you. Now, I heard you say, you know, you got the team member on board. Now, will that be also a combination of face-to-face and online, or are they just working at a face-to-face capacity?
Correct. Yeah. So Jamie is my worker, Jamie Brown. She's fantastic. She actually was a client of mine. She was one of my first clients
Right.
online, and she started 4 years ago, and she stuck with me for 4 years until we had the conversation. And I said, "Look, Jamie, like, you know, you're almost done your cert four. What do you reckon jumping on board? You know, getting some experience with me, and you know, helping building my business, because we've built that know, like, and trust together.
Yeah.
I think it would work fantastic." And she ultimately has learned everything from me, so she's basically a carbon copy of me,
It's the best.
right?
It's the
Yeah,
best. Yeah.
yeah. So I'm taking the same approach with Jamie. I want to build her experience in person first. So the
Yes.
goal is to get her up to 20 sessions to start off with. We're currently at 7 sessions, and she started about a month ago. So we're on that right track. Once she gets to 20, she's earned the right to
Yeah.
be able to take on some online clients from there.
Love it. So here's the next part that I love for anyone listening is that all that work previously to what you've done has now got you into the position where you can start to help more people, earn more in the business, and ultimately have more freedom as well, while giving somebody else an opportunity like Jamie in the industry, a great chance, which there's not a lot these days. When I started, there was more gym instructors, you know, you could get employment out of gym. Now it's not. So you're now also helping somebody else, you know, get that start in the industry who may not want to run their own business, but just
Correct.
wants to work for someone they respect, admire, and align with. So yeah, that's exciting. Plans to then put on any more, or is it just the one at this stage? Are you going to keep growing, expanding?
Yeah, for sure. So the plan is to bring on one more trainer this year, a male, just to even out the playing field. And some, you know, clients that come into the business may have a preference with male, female trainers. So I think it's good to have a both male and female trainer there. And through the interview process, I've got five potential candidates that can jump on straight away. So,
Yeah.
you know, so I'll be able to easily contact them and they can jump on. So that's the plan. And the plan is to get them doing 20 sessions, you know, per week each. That's the plan. And, you know, from those guys, if they end up doing 40 sessions, and that'd be an extra $2,000 in my pocket, you know, passive income.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's great. And again, just that, you know, that journey that you went on from, you know, going back at the gym in 2014, I think it was, to where you are now. I think it's incredible. But, you know, a lot of people can also waste that time. And I know plenty of you are still in the same position, haven't really gone forward. And probably circles back to what we're saying about, you know, if you don't learn about marketing, you don't learn about, you know, niching and sales structure, system back end, then you're running the hope plan. In my opinion, you've invested in all those things clearly, and as a result, rather than just being a good trainer, you've also become a great business owner in the
Correct.
same time. So I guess what if you look over the last several years, you've obviously got your skill set up as a trainer. How much time and energy effort would you actually dedicate over, like, again, the last several years into actually learning about business per se?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, in the early stages of, you know, running Sammy Shreds, I was definitely working significantly in the business a lot, and like very little on the business. And it wasn't until I joined Trainer HQ was when I learned the importance of working on the business and in the business as well. That's when I saw the most growth.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important. People ignore it. Like, they don't, like, I go, if you're not converting sales, well, if you're going to ignore it, it's not going to get any better by itself. So I'm assuming these are all the things that you invested time, energy, and money into getting better at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big thing that when I first started, I had my consult with Mr. Brad, and he said, and so it really resonated with me. He said, "It's all good and well to have a flood of leads come in, but if your sales process is shit and you're not converting any of them, you may as well have no leads."
Yeah.
And I went, "Jeez, that's so true." And I
Yeah.
went, I really need to work on my sales process and converting, because I had a lot of people come through, but it was my conversion rate that really needed help.
Yeah, and it's not the ones that turn up ready because they've seen you're being referred, or they're the easy ones, right? It's the ones that are a bit need a bit more help in getting out of their own way. If you don't have the right skill set, then you know it's the ones that are maybe that if you can't convert them, it really hurts. So if you can only convert the ones who are ready for whatever reason, then yeah, you're limited. Last thing, just want to touch on majority of your being that you're in the gym as well. How do the majority of your clients find your leads? Where do they typically come through for you with your niche?
Yeah, so referrals are a massive one. You know, friends, family, a lot of my clients tag me on their stories. I repost on Instagram and being in Adelaide, South Australia. Yeah, massively. Being in Adelaide, South Australia, it's a small country town ultimately. So everyone knows everyone around, and they go, oh, I saw you on her story, I'm gonna get in contact there. So referrals are a massive thing. I get a lot through Instagram, just organically through my messages that I put out. How things are going with the reels at the moment, reels organically go gangbusters. You know, had a couple of really good viral videos that went quite well, and I've set my profile up so that when they go viral, they click on my profile and they go through a funnel system where they, you know, try out a 14-day free trial on my app, and they get ultimately like a free 14-day coaching experience. And then that conversion rate there is quite high to getting those people on board.
So that's the first step. That's the first step for someone to, you know, I guess get in contact with you. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, for sure. I've got a website which is all optimized through Google SEO. You know, I get quite a few leads coming through Google, where, you know, I've got a couple of lead magnets on my website too, with free recipe ebook and the 14-day free trial. So I get a lot of people through there, and then go through the email blast from there. A lot of them convert over, which is fantastic.
Awesome. Love that. And again, because you're so niche, I know, because I've been on your page, if you land on your Instagram, it's obvious who you help, right?
Yeah.
And so that's back to your original point, going when you're niche, people won't spend the mental energy these days trying to figure out, oh, actually, hang on, he does work with women who don't have a good relationship with food, and because they have to scroll for about 10 minutes, people just won't do it. So come to yours immediately, you know, who your clients, who you work with. So I'm not surprised that that's working really well. And the tagging in of clients is great. I mean, we've had a couple of people come via you because, you know, you've been tagged in, and someone that you know, another trainer, has seen you associated with us. So it's a must. It's so cool. Well, mate, congrats on all your success. And I'm proud to say that, you know, you're now also, you know, through your experience and actually achievements that you've done, now you're working as a coach for Trainer HQ. And, mate, couldn't be happier, because, again, it's people like yourself that now get to pass on what you've learned, what you've experienced, to help others. So, mate, yeah, it's great now to have you now sharing your experience, knowledge, and you know, processes onto others to help them fast track as well. So how, just to finish on that, how have you found it? Because it's – have you found now coaching other fitness professionals in their business? I know you've started, but
– yeah. I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah, it's been amazing to help other people within their business as well. I actually do train quite a lot of personal trainers under Sammy Shreds as well.
Right.
And often I got the odd question here and there. It's like, oh, what do you do when a client does this? And, you know, what do you do with the sales process? And I love that when, you know, there's something in this. I really help like helping people within their businesses, and then they'll send me a message and go, oh, you know, I got another client, you know, that's an increase in revenue X amount. And then, you know, when I guess you guys were, you know, looking for some more coaches, and I went, oh, hey, I'm going to put my name in the hat and see what it comes about. And I've really, really enjoyed the process. And I can see it being a definite long-term thing as well.
Yeah, I hope so. That's great, man. Great from our perspective. And it is the most rewarding thing if you're coaching someone physically or in their business. Like, well, money gets promoted a lot, but that's really a measuring score of the effort someone's put in to get that right. So while a lot of people come to school, I want to make more money, then it's like, well, now I've got more freedom. I'm not stressed about paying my tax. So I could take a holiday. You know, I can spend time with my family. They're the things ultimately I like hearing people say. So, but, you know, when money's the issue at the start, yeah, let's get that sorted. But then it's so much bigger than just the, you know, the money side of it. So, yeah, it's very rewarding indeed.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to Kate Kendall again, you know, 2023 coach of the year through Trainer HQ. You know, she definitely helped me, you know, increase my revenue, but also improve my work-life balance. And, you know, we actually went over to Bali as a family to meet Kate last year. And that was such a pivotal moment to take some time out of the business to go meet Kate in person. So, yeah, that was extremely special. And yeah, she's definitely changed my life, which has been awesome. Amazing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And another product of, you know, we met her, geez, about 13, 14 years ago, what it was now. And, you know, to see her journey come through and pass it on. And now you'll be doing the same, you know, like we'll be interviewing someone down the track going, oh, and I met Sam and now, you know, changed my life. So it's really cool. Mate, well, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to be today. It's been invaluable, the stuff that you've been to pass on. So, mate, I really appreciate it.
No, not a problem. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, hopefully someone can get some, you know, inspiration from this podcast and be able to implement that into their business. And, hey, if anyone wants to work with me through Trainer HQ, please get in contact with the boys and we'll go from there.
Absolutely love it, mate. Appreciate it. Thanks, mate.
Awesome. Bye. Thanks, mate. Bye.